Good evening. If you have your Bibles, turn again to Malachi chapter 1. We're going to pick up where we left off last week, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 1. I kind of like these short song services. Not anything against our singing, but sitting there waiting to get up and teach the words, kind of like waiting to get a whipping. Any of y'all ever had to wait to get a whipping? It's kind of an anticipation there. My older brother said it's a holy anticipation. Well, that wasn't the deal when I was waiting to get a whipping, but it is. I've had to sit before and sit, and it seems like, you know, it just kind of builds, and I am glad to get up and be able to get up, because I thank God that I do have the privilege to get up and to teach His Word, but I do take it a great honor, but also a great fear in sharing His Word. And tonight, as we look and as we study and as we look at these priests, those that were in charge, those that were over the worship, those that were over the service of the Lord's work, as standing in that place of being a leader, we do stand more accountable. And there is a fear and there is a reverence that we need to have and we see. So tonight, before we read, let's pray. Father, we do love You. We do praise You. We do thank You for Your people. God, I thank You for Your church. I thank You that You purchased it. God, I thank You that You called me and put me in it, Father. And we just ask You to just do a work tonight. Speak to us through Your Word. God, overlook our faults. God, we pray and we come to You tonight, God, asking You just to forgive us. Cleanse our minds and our hearts tonight, God, that we could hear Your Word. That, God, You can grow us. That, God, we can be more like You. That we can be conformed to Your image. And Father, we just ask You to help us despite our inabilities, our weaknesses. God, we pray that You would manifest Yourself here tonight, that You'd make Yourself known through Your Word, that, God, we could praise You, that we can glorify You, that, God, we can grow closer to You, that, God, we can bring You honor and glory because You deserve it. And we ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So here in verse 7, we're going to read and we're going to pick up where we left off, and The indictment here is that ye offer polluted bread upon My altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. So here we see in verse 7 that God charges the priest, and this is going to kind of be redundant because we're kind of going over the same thing we've been over the last couple times that we've been looking at this, that God charges these priests with offering bread or polluted bread upon His altar. So instead of giving God what He deserved, they decided to give God that which was defiled and that which was corrupt. And as we read in our text, they demand proof of their wrongdoings. And instead of being broken over this, any of y'all ever been rebuked by the Word of God? I'm talking about the man of God gets up and God rebukes us. I had rebukes this morning. Almost every single time, if I go into God's Word with the right mindset and I go in prayed up and asking God to reveal truth to me, you know what? Usually God rebukes me through His Word. And the thing is it depends on what state we're in, whether or not we're going to receive that rebuke or we're going to push against that rebuke. And we see here that these priests were in the state of mind. Their mindset was that they thought they were doing God a favor. So when they were rebuked of God, what they wanted to do is demand proof. It was not enough to be charged by God. They wanted credible evidence, as if to say to God, show us where we are wrong if You can. And you know what? God's going to show them where they're wrong. And God's going to lay out the things that they're wrong. And how many of us here have come here tonight asking God to show us where we're wrong? I know one thing. I guarantee you, and if you ask anybody, you can talk to Brother Dustin, my kids, my wife. If you hang out with me long enough, you're going to find out I have faults. And I know I have faults. It's when we lie to ourselves and think that we're better than what we are is when we find ourselves being in a position where we stand in opposition to God. And the thing is, if we come here tonight as a people, as God's people, asking God to reveal to us the error of our ways, not that we can beat ourselves up, because sometimes we can find... How many of you are hard on yourself? We can find ourselves being hard on ourselves, thinking that we're doing ourselves service just by being hard on ourselves. It's not good to recognize our fault. It's good to recognize our faults and ask God to change us. Because that's the whole motive here, right? It's to go from one place. To repent means to what? Turn from one thing, turn from our sins, and turn to God. So just to be able to recognize your faults is not enough. We need the grace and the mercy that God has. Do y'all believe God has grace and mercy to help us change? We need the grace and mercy that God has in store for us, not only just to reveal our faults to us, but also help us change. How many of y'all need change tonight? I need change. I hope we all realize how damning our pride can be. Y'all realize how damning pride could be? I hope that we can see how offensive it is to God when we think we are doing Him a favor when we serve Him. And y'all ever get that? Now, we may not say that, and I'm not quite sure. I don't know, according to our text, if they verbally expressed these things or if that's just what they were doing. Because we don't have to say some things in order to think it, right? We don't have to verbally say it. Our lifestyle, the way we live, speaks or denotes what we truly believe and how we believe. And God looks where? He doesn't have to hear it audibly, right? He can see it in our actions. And God is examining us. And when we come to church thinking we're doing Him a favor, how offensive do you think that might be to Him? How many realize that God doesn't really need us? Y'all realize that? I mean, He really does not need us. And that He was doing fine since before the foundation of the world without us, right? I mean, we go back. And sometimes I think it does us good to go back and study church history. Why? Because God has kept and preserved, and God will keep and preserve His people throughout the ages. And He doesn't really need us to do that. His word is going to stand whether we proclaim it or not. Y'all understand that? And the thing is what we need to do is we need to get in line with Him and line up with Him, follow with Him, be obedient to Him. Why? So that we could be used. What great honor would it be to be used by God? And when God does you, how many of us realize that it's only by His grace that God even allows us to serve Him? I mean, for Miss Toya to be able to get up, tremendous song today, to be able to get up and to serve, to be able to get up and share God's word, to be able to give honor and glory to God in everything that we do. That is a great honor. We don't deserve that, but God has allowed us by His grace to come in. What would we be if God had not initiated a work in us? Think about that. Think about these priests. Think about our church. Think about those that are in our family. If God does not initiate a work in us, then you know what? We'd never be in position to serve Him. Rather alone, not just to be in position to serve Him, but what about to be in position to have fellowship with Him? If God did not do a work in us, y'all remember back? Somebody mentioned this morning about being in the old days, the way that we used to be. I can't remember who said it, but thinking back on when we were lost, no way possible could we have fellowship with God. Why? Because we were in darkness and God's light. And the thing is, for God to come in and initiate and to draw us out, you know what it ought to do? I think about, oftentimes we hear people talking about election and all these different things and how that is prideful that we would think that we were. You know what it does to me? It makes me fall on my face and say, God, I don't understand. Why? How many of y'all realize how wicked you are? Even after you have received knowledge, how many of y'all could be wicked in here? And God would still choose to call you, to set you apart, to use you, to allow you to serve Him, to allow you to come before His presence and worship Him. Right? And then all of a sudden, not only just that, but to yoke up with you and to fellowship with you. Right? That God would allow us to come into His presence, that God would allow us to fellowship with Him, that God would allow us to be able to serve Him. Remember last week we looked in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'd like to go there again tonight. Don't turn there yet. But before we do that, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We were in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Now we're dealing with all these sacrifices, right? We understand that the sacrificial system was what? A type and a picture of what was to come. Who was to come? And we see these things, and we see that God had a plan in all these things, and we see what happened is in our text back in Malachi that man got involved, man decided to do things his own way, and by doing things his own way, you know what? He put himself in opposition to God. God had a plan, and God's plans will be fulfilled. We see here in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm just going to kind of read through some of this, and we'll see what was going on. We'll see what God did. What did God desire? We're going to see that right here. It says, for the law, having a shadow. What is a shadow? Y'all help me out. Come on, we're in school today. A shadow has no substance, right? It doesn't. We see a tree, and we are a building. We'll take, for instance, a building. Sun comes up, big high-rise building. We see a shadow. The shadow's cast. It's an image, right? It's a type. But it's not the very same thing, right? We can walk through the shadow. But you try and walk through the outside without opening the door, but you can't do it. A tree or a building or anything like that. A mountain. We couldn't walk through it. But you can walk. Why? It doesn't have any substance. He says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Couldn't do it. For then would they have what? Ceased to be offered. Because that the worshipers, right, those that were, what was the whole reason that they were bringing these things? To do what? We looked at that last week. To worship God. And they decided what they were going to do to worship God was they were going to bring the things that were worthless to them. Not a good idea. He says here, for then would they have not ceased to be offered because that the worshipers once purged, if it could take away the sins and they were purged, should have had what? No more conscience of sin. Y'all realize that Christ's blood is able to purge our conscience? Purify. Look back in Hebrews chapter 9. It says here in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, he's making a comparison between the blood of bulls and goats. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, it can what? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know how we can get up in the morning and serve God? Because the blood purges our conscience. It purifies us. We can understand. How many of y'all realize, I just asked this question, that you defile yourself from time to time? And if we were to examine ourselves and start looking at ourselves and ourselves only, we would find that we'd be disqualified. We'd be disqualified pretty quickly. Why? I'm not worthy to get up here and teach. Why? I've had perverted thoughts today. And I could say, man, my conscience, Brother Jimmy, won't allow me. Why? Because I'm guilty. And I feel guilty. I feel dirty. It won't allow me to get up and proclaim God's word because I'm not worthy to proclaim God's word. But what I can see is, hey, I've been washed. I can be made new. I can go before the throne of God and be cleansed. And when I get cleansed on a regular basis, you know what that does? That purges my conscience. From the things that I did yesterday, I can get up and serve God afresh and anew today. Why? Because His blood, right? Looking back in our in Hebrews chapter 10, but in those sacrifices, those shadow of things, those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins, what, every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. You know what they did? Those sacrifices simply covered. Did not remove, did not take away. Y'all realize, as saved folks, we are presently, positionally, we are perfect in Christ. You know what that ought to do? That ought to give us some kind of encouragement. Why? Because practically, right, on a day-to-day basis, we mess up. But positionally, we can understand that we can have this boldness to go before the throne of God. Why? Because we've been made right. And what we can do is we can come to Him and be made right. Not that we get saved again, right? He only died how many times? We're going to see that in a second. He died once, right? He says here, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, talking about Jesus Christ, He said, what? Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Was God pleased with the sacrifices and the offerings that they were given? He what? We're going to read on. It says here, in burnt offerings, right? And in sacrifices for sin, thou hast what? Had no pleasure. Why? We see what man does. If Brother Jimmy was to take over, our pastor was to take over this church and push his own agenda, his own ways, you know what? God would have no pleasure in him. And what would happen, he would bring upon this place swift destruction, swift reproof. Why? Because God's got a way that he sets things up. And what he wants to do is he wants us. And listen to what he says here. He says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, he said, you had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will. What's God want us to do? He wants us to do his will. He wants you. He says it is better in the Old Testament. It's better to hearken, right? To listen than it is to sacrifice. It's better to obey than it is to sacrifice, and hearken than the fat of rams. In other words, God would rather that we listen to him and be obedient to him than we bring our gifts to this altar. And if we bring our gifts to this altar in disobedience, you know what? It's not going to sit good with God. And we see that a reflection of their heart and the way that they took God and the way that they viewed God and the service of God back in our text, we realize that looking back in our text, the way that they viewed God reflected in the things that they gave him for worship. And they gave him the things that they didn't want. Here he says here in Hebrews 10, he says, by the which will, let me read verse 9 again. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. What was the first? The first testament. The first what? Covenant. The first sacrificial system that he may what? Establish something new. What was the new covenant? The new covenant of grace. No longer are we bound to live by the law. We are to live how? By grace. But when we understand that when we're saved by grace, then we have a desire to do what? To keep the law. Not that the one abolished the other, that the one was no good, but that Christ came in to bring in us, that we can be made into a new covenant with God, that we're saved by grace. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Notice this, once for all, and every priest, right? That's what we're dealing with here. Standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which, what? Can never take away sins. Aren't y'all glad we don't have to deal with that?
Amen. Right.
But Jimmy, as a man of God, aren't you glad you don't have to sacrifice these animals on a regular basis, stand up there ministering daily of the things that you'd have to do again over and over and over. But this man, talking about Christ, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what did he do? He sat down. Why? Because the work was done. He sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And I'm going to stop right here for sake of time. For by one offering, it's one of my favorite verses. And I say that all the time. But this is one of my favorite verses. For by one offering, he has perfected, made complete forever them that are sanctified. I thank God that he was able to stand in the gap, that he is our propitiation, that he pleased the Father with his sacrifice. We don't have to look for another. What Christ did was sufficient. And what we have to do is we have to listen. We have to look. We have to go to him and surrender to him as our... Is he our Lord?
Yep.
He is our Lord. And what we have to do is we have to follow. Read this morning in 1 Peter. We have to follow the steps that he left for us as an example. Romans chapter 12. I said we were going to go back to Romans chapter 12. The reason I want to go back to Romans chapter 12 is not just to get into the New Testament. We understand what was going on. The sacrificial system had been corrupted. Why was it corrupted? Because the men that were in charge of it had corrupted it. But what I do want us to see and what I do want to look at today is what are we responsible for? Right? We don't have to bring, I didn't have to bring turtle doves. I didn't have to bring a bullock. I didn't have to bring a fatted calf today in order to come and worship God. But we do have some practical living that the scriptures teach us. And what I want us to do is just look at this. We kind of briefed over it last week, but I just want to kind of look at, and I challenge you to go home tonight, next week, and just read over Romans chapter 12. Why? Because all the doctrine that had been taught in the book of Romans, which is a tremendous book, we see here that he's giving examples for us to live out practically in our lives every single day. Let's just look at it. He says, I beseech you. What's that mean? I beg you, therefore, brethren, what? By God's mercies or the mercies of God that you do what? That you present. This word present, I can't remember the Greek word. We can look it up. But this word means just what it sounds like. It means just what these priests were doing. These priests were offering these sacrifices. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to yield. It means to yield or surrender. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to surrender what? What's it say? Our bodies. Why our body? Why not our soul? Our soul's already been surrendered, has it not? Has God taken us and does He not belong? Does it not belong to Him? But what we have to understand is our bodies, that is our moral flesh, has not been redeemed. Therefore, you know what we have to do? We have to present it to God. Why? It's corrupt. We have to bring it before Him and ask Him to cleanse it, to take it, to use it. How many of y'all have fleshly desires? What makes up part of our body? Does our mind not make up part of our body? That's what he's talking about. All these things collectively. He says here that by the mercy, we got to understand that it's by God's grace and by God's mercy. Because if we try and do it, any of y'all ever tried to change yourself? I'm talking about for the right reasons. In other words, God, I want to live for you. I want to know more about you. I want to study. I want to have a desire for you. I want to have a burning within me that I can study your word. And we get up and we try and do that in our flesh. And you know what's going to happen? Not going to take long. We're going to be right back where we were. We need God's mercy. We need God's grace. We need God to grant us the grace to live what we know to live every single day. Right? Husbands, love your wives. Somebody mentioned it this morning. Can't do it. Impossible for us to do it. Like Christ loved the church. He gave himself. He didn't reserve anything. A lot of times we reserve ourselves. Worship God without reserving some of yourself. I'm talking about to where you're willing to spend all that you have. How many of y'all would be willing to give all your resources for the work of God? Now, some of us say, well, I would until we called to do it. We got to be careful what we say we will do and won't do. By God's grace, some of us could do those things. And what we got to do is we got to be to that point to where, and all this can happen only by the grace of God, because we have a tendency. When we're threatened, what is our natural tendency there? To retaliate. To defend ourselves. We hear somebody talking bad about us, what we want to do. Remember what we were talking about in our text with the pride issue? When God gave them a charge, what did they do? Prove it to us. Somebody tells you you're wrong, what you want? You want to bow up and say, you prove to me where I'm wrong. We got to understand that we can be wrong. We can be wrong a lot of times. And what we have to do is we got to understand that without God granting us the grace to change, we're going to stay in that same situation, and we got to be careful. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we were dealing with in our text. How do we do this? How do we present ourselves? We present ourselves holy, right? In a place where we ask God to cleanse every single part of our body. Our inside, our outside, our mouth. How many of y'all have trouble with your mouth? With our eyes? I mean, if you live in this world, you're going to have trouble with your eyes. You're going to have to ask God to remove some things and take some things away from you, from our minds. He says that we present ourselves what? Living sacrifices. You know the bad thing about a living sacrifice? You know what they did with these animals? They slit their throats. Had no chance of getting up and walking off the altar. What can a living sacrifice do? It can. And there's been times, I hate to admit it, that I've tried to present myself in my own flesh. I got on there and said, I don't really like this. I'm going to get up and do something different. And what we have to realize is we need to present ourselves, what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. How are we acceptable to God? Remember what Jesus said he wanted? What the scripture said Jesus said he wanted? I come to do what? Thy will. And for us to be acceptable with God, what we have to do is we have to get in his word. My brother said this, and I'm sure I've probably quoted it from here before. You cannot accidentally obey God. Can't do it. I mean, you might get some things right. You might do some things right throughout the day, but you're not going to be able to get credit for it for being obedient. Why? Because if you just haphazardly go throughout the day and you don't plan it, how many of us have planned and purposed each day to be obedient to God? If we don't, then why should we expect that we would be obedient? You see, it's a mind thing. The first thing that we have to take into captivity, y'all realize the battle's right here? How many of y'all deal with thoughts? Good or bad? We all do, right? I mean, there's nothing new. And the thing is what we got to understand is our battles in our mind and in our flesh. And when our flesh wants to control our mind, then what happens as a man thinketh, then he's driven in that direction. As his heart, so is he. And what happens is when we think on things and dwell on things, then all of a sudden we find ourselves acting out things. And what we have to do is we have to saturate ourselves. We have to permeate ourselves with the Word of God. Why? That it can influence our every thought. How many of y'all are influenced by the Word of God in every thought that you have? I can't raise my hand and say that I am. How many of us should be? I would say we all should be. And we all should desire to be. He says here, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable. That's expected of us. This isn't unreasonable. This isn't an unreasonable request. Right? You remember when Jesus healed some of them? Cured some of them? Saved some of them? What did he say? Go and do what? Sin, what? No more. Was that possible? Now, we understand that in our flesh, we're going to have trouble. But what he's saying is, he said, you go live a life that is what? Above reproach. You go live a life that it's not unreasonable for us to give ourselves. He says here, he says in verse 2, and be not what? Conformed. What's it mean to be conformed? That means to be in shape with, right? I'm guessing. I wasn't planning on really going through all this. But to be conformed, con means what? With, right? To be conformed, it means to be in shape with, right? Be not conformed to what? To be not in shape or in fashion or in form with this world. How many of us could honestly say that we're not that way? Most of us, if we would be honest, are drawn to the things of this world. I hate to say that, but we are. There's a natural appeal to us. And what we have to do is we have to remind ourselves that you and I, we're not citizens of this place. You know, it's easy to get hung up on what's going on in this world with our government, with all the things going on. But you know what? This place is going to hell anyway. It's going to burn with a fervent heat. And for us to try and preserve these things. Now, I understand we are to do the best we can to live and do what we can with what we have, right? I have a responsibility to teach my family right. But there's some things going on in this world I have no control over. And they're going to go the way. Why? Because we fight not against flesh and blood, right? But against principality. There's things going on that we don't know a whole lot about. And the thing is, for us to get caught up on those things causes us to lose focus on what we're to do here and now. There's some things I can control. And this is one of them right here. He says, and be not conformed to this world. Why? You don't belong to this world. But be you what? What does transform mean? It means to change shape, right? Y'all remember those little toys they had, those transformer things? That would be a what? Somebody help me out. It'd be a plane or a truck or a car 1 minute and then a monster or something the next. He says that we're to be what? Transformed. How? How are we to do this? Right here. By the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's our service of worship on a daily basis. As these priests came and ministered all these things, you know what we're supposed to do? As these people brought all these polluted sacrifices to God, asking God to accept them as if they were the best, what we're supposed to do is bring ourselves and offer ourselves to God. Offer ourselves to God in prayer. I could go on and let me read just for sake of time. Let's see how much time we have. He says here, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, what? Talking about our mind, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Remember these priests? You know what they were wrapped up in? I believe pride had them. So much so that when God accused them, they said, prove it to us. I believe they thought they were better than I believe they thought they were better than the people that they were serving. And if we're not careful, we can follow the suit and have the mindset that we're better than it. As a church, as a group of people, we can find ourselves thinking that we're better than everybody else. He says here, for God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. If I get up and preach and teach and somebody else doesn't get up and preach and teach, that doesn't mean I'm any better than them. God has given everybody a specific, look what it says here. For as we all, as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office. We can't all get up. If everybody tried to get up here tonight and teach, we'd have chaos. Confusion. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts, what, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy. I'm glad Brother Jimmy had, I'm glad you preached this morning. I'm glad I didn't have to. I'm glad that God's called other men to get up and share the load, right? We all have a responsibility as a part of the body. And all these parts have different functions. Our eyes doesn't do what our ears do, right? Our hands doesn't do what our feet do. And we got to understand that we're not any better than anybody else if we do have a place of position. But what also we need to understand is we're going to be held more accountable if we do have a place of position. So you know what that makes you? You know I'm more accountable. So you know what that ought to make you do? Pray for me more. Honestly, I'm telling you, I need it. And I'm not just up here trying to act with false humility. I really earnestly desire y'all's prayers. Why? I need them. I need God to do a work in me. Not just so I can come and teach y'all, but that I can learn myself, that God can transform me. He says, of prophecy, whether prophesying according to the proportion of faith or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, right? Some of y'all may have the gift of giving. He says here, he says what? Let him do it with, where are we at? Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. God has called each and every one of us in this place for a reason. Y'all believe God knows what he's doing? How many of y'all believe we can trust him? I mean, wholeheartedly, without reserve, trust what he's doing. We can. How many of y'all can trust yourselves? We can. So when we try and step in place, and we try and, what, take rank or order that's not been, what, given to us by God himself, what we do, just like these priests, we find we put ourselves in position. Back to our text. I don't know how I got off on all that. Back to our text, back to Malachi. It's evident, according to our text, that these priests had lost their reverence, right, and their fear of God, because even after being reproved, they are still bent on proving their own justification. They evidently took no thought of themselves and never truly done any self-evaluation, because they could not even recognize their own folly. Every time God brings an accusation, they say, where did we do this? We can't, they couldn't recognize it. It you know, it often amazes me how blinded we can be to our own sinfulness. I'm talking about me, and how much easier it is to find fault in others rather than our own selves. I mean, that's easy. I get around you long, it ain't going to take me long to find fault in you, but you get around, it's not going to take you long to find fault in me. But what's hard for us to do is find fault in ourselves. Why? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, because love covers a multitude of sins, and we generally, myself included, or exclusive, should I say, on this part, I love myself. And I tend to overlook my own faults. I'm fully aware of the fact that even though we are prone to err, I also realize that even we are often, when we are confronted, we're wise in our own conceit. We can easily render a reason as to why we do some of the things that we can do. Y'all realize how easy it is for us to manipulate the scriptures and to justify our own sinful actions? Or is that just me? And that's what these priests were doing. God said, you offered bread, polluted bread. And they said, wherein have we offered polluted bread? And that you say, they said here, that the table of the Lord is contemptible. God was not impressed with these priests here in our text. And God is not impressed with us either if we do not obey his commands. How many of y'all want to please God? Honestly, we do. Here we see that they esteem themselves, or they esteem the service and the worship of God as a light thing. They did. That's what their whole problem was. They didn't have the proper perspective. They thought it wasn't that big of a deal. They thought it was a light thing. And for that reason, God brings forth not only his rebuke, but he also brings forth the evidence that they seemingly desired, right? What were they saying? Prove to us. So God brings, they despise God's name in that they did not take serious their service or their privilege to worship him. Y'all realize it's a privilege for us to worship God? Just to be able to come here. Think about all the things that could have taken place this week that would have disallowed us to show up here today. Seriously. I don't want to be one that's looking at all the negative, but we could have been hurt this week, right? And in doing so, not to say that we just come here for worship. Now, we can worship God at home, right? But I thank God that God not instituted this place for worship? He has. He has set this place aside, sanctified it, what? For collective worship. When we worship God all week, in our homes, on our jobs, which ought to be our goal. I hate to say that I don't always do it, but it should be our goal. When we worship him all week, just hypothetically, say here tonight, went home all week and we worshiped God in spirit and truth. We were in his word. Everything we did with honor and reverence, with a mindset that I'm living today to please him. Y'all think this place would be different if we met back again next week? Honestly. I mean, I'm not trying to pipe dream here. I'm just saying, I think, is that possible for us to do? I mean, there's men. Y'all have met people that worship God, that love God, that you can see God on. And if we were to gather together here, what God wasn't impressed with these priests. They took his work lightly. They took his service lightly. They took his worship lightly. They wanted God to do to prove to them that they were wrong. They despised the name of God by what? By saying that his worship or what they were doing, the word contemptible means to be what? To be worthless. When we take lightly the ordinances of God, God set up some things that we got to do on a regular basis as a church, right? And when we take the, for instance, I know Brother Jimmy's taught and preached, and y'all have had the Lord's Supper here, right? Are there warnings in the New Testament about coming and doing that the wrong way? Are there grave consequences? The Scripture says as what? Weak, right? Sick, and what? Huh? And dead. Why? Didn't do it the right way. So for us to take lightly the things and the ordinance of God, God's got a prescribed institution. That is the church. And there's a way that the church is supposed to operate. And if we come here and gather here together and take those things lightly and mock the things of God. How many of y'all have ever been guilty of mocking the things? I have. Mocking the things, mocking the men of God, mocking the things of God. When we take light the precepts of the Word of God, we set ourselves up for destruction. Do y'all understand that? I'm talking to myself, not just to y'all. Notice the trend here. These priests seem to think that they were okay, right? Their actions prove that they truly believed that that their performance was acceptable and that they presupposed that God was pleased with them and with their service. Y'all ever been there? Where we just kind of show up and we say, God's going to take what I bring him no matter what. And we don't come here with the focus of realizing that we're coming in the presence of God. How many of y'all, I want to ask you this question. How many of y'all would really, be honest with me. You don't have to raise your hand. Be honest with yourself. Because that's what counts the most. How many of y'all would really want to meet God face to face today? Tonight, in the state that you're in, myself included. Now, if we can't say that we would be eagerly anticipating him, then what does that indicate to you? To me, it indicates something's not right. That means we're not in the place that we need to be. That means we don't have the reverence and the fear. We don't have our life quite together, right? Any of y'all ever been where God does grant you the grace to get things right? And I mean, you're just in fellowship with God. That's a good place to be. We need to be there on a regular basis. These priests evidently become satisfied with their worship. And they felt that there was no need for a change. And their contentment quickly turned to coldness towards the things of God. You know what? We can find ourselves doing the same thing. We can think everything's okay. We can show up. God may speak. God may draw some people. Some souls may get saved. And we think, man, we're doing a work for God. We're doing God a favor. We're winning people for him. And what happens, we can soon find ourselves being content with the state that we're in, and we can find ourselves growing cold for the work of God. That we're capable. How many of y'all would agree we're capable of doing that? To say the table of the Lord is contemptible is to say that their view of God's service was not really that important. I got a question. Can we possibly serve anybody greater than God? Who do we usually try and serve that we tend to make greater than God? Well, Jimmy was pointing his hand at him. Does he mean him or does he mean ourselves? He means ourselves. Can we do any greater service than worshiping our Creator? Have you and I become complacent? Have we despised the service of the Lord? Now, I know we wouldn't say that we have, but I want us to think, do we need to be held in contempt like they have? Could you honestly say, I just went through as I was studying, I wrote down some questions. Can you honestly, and I asked myself these questions, now I'm asking you, can you honestly say that you have come here today with a fervency and with great anticipation of being able to worship and serve your God? Think about it. Have we? Or have we come here kind of lax? Have we come here with great anticipation? How many of y'all have been looking forward to this? I know sometimes the preachers do. Why? They've been studying, they're chomping at the bit, ready to get up and share God's word. But us, we, as God's people, how many of us have come here eagerly? If not, you know what we need to do? We need to stop right now. We need to seek the face of God. We need to seek forgiveness. You see, the trouble with us is the same that was with them. We can become lax. We can be settled. We can allow the things of God to become commonplace with us. That's what happened. They allowed the things of God to become commonplace, and they took the things of God lightly. And because of that, what they end up offering was just proof. It just proved their own heart. What they were given. Taking light to things of God is extremely dangerous. Y'all understand that? It tends to have a snowball effect. It gets bigger and bigger. I'm talking about our sin. It's just like any other sin. It gets bigger and it gets bigger. And before you know it, things are out of control. And that's what happened here. They could not even recognize the fact of what they were doing. And they thought that that's why back we looked in our text back in Romans chapter 12. We're not to think of ourselves any higher than we should. Why? We're all capable and prone to getting away from God. We see a brother that is fallen. What's the scripture say? Ye which are spiritual do what? Restore what? Consider in your own self lest what? You fall in the same temptation. Why? Because we're all prone to it. Don't get lifted up in pride and say, man, I can't believe that dude did what he did. He must not really be saved. We're all prone to fouling up. Every single one of us. And the thing is we got to be careful because we're all prone to take light to things of God. If our pastor took light, his responsibility to earnestly search the scriptures, instead of laboring in the word, he just did what most of us do throughout the week, would we see effects from it? I mean, if he decided, hey, it's not that big of a deal. I don't really need to study. I probably know enough about the scriptures to be able to get up and share 40 minutes with them. I don't think they really care anyway. If he was to treat the word of God like some of us do, would any of y'all say sometimes we treat the word of God, we put it on a shelf? I'm guilty. And if our pastor was to, what if our families took like their responsibility and their privilege to give the first fruits of their increase to God each week? Would it have an effect on this church? How do you think we'd end up? Huh? They'd shut the lights off. If we took light, it is our responsibility, right? The scriptures teach us that we are to what? Give of the first fruits of our increase. Not only is our responsibility, but it's also our privilege. And we need to do it how? With a cheerful heart. And if we took the things of God lightly like they were doing, I'm just using some practical application here. You may say, well, that's not going to happen here at Richardson Baptist Church. The thing is, we got to be careful. If we were to show up on a regular basis, half-hearted and haphazardly, you know what ends up happening? There ain't no telling what can happen here. And what we have to do is we have to remind ourselves, we have to stay focused We have to bring ourselves in position, knowing what we are. You know, as I've been teaching, and I don't know if Brother Jimmy would testify to this, but God, I believe, gives each man kind of a message. In other words, you hear one preacher, he can preach the whole counsel of God, but he's kind of got a central message for his life. I don't understand all that. And you listen to some, and God uses all that. Remember, we looked at a while ago that He gives gifts differing, right? In order to edify, in order to bring, in order to equip. And as I've been just kind of doing some self-examination and looking, what I want to do is to be able to share with God's people to the point that they see themselves in light of God's holiness. And when we could get to that place, you and I, on a daily basis, not every once in a while, not in a season, not here, not there, but when we see ourselves daily in the presence of His holiness, you know what it'll do? It'll transform our lives. Why? We'll have the proper perspective of who we are, which is nothing, in light of His holiness, and we'll have the proper perspective of who He is. And what we'll do is we'll worship Him, we'll adore Him, we'll start desiring to be with Him. We will want that fellowship. Why? Because we realize we don't deserve it. And each moment that we get it, we understand that, God, you really don't have to fellowship with me. You really don't have to allow me to worship you. Why? Because you're so much greater than I am and we are. And what we need to do is we need to ask God to reveal some things to us in our life, in our walk, in our service. Last week we dealt mainly with what? With false worship. Tonight we're dealing with service, and that, which goes right alongside of the worship. And if we get our service wrong, we get our worship wrong. And if we get both of them wrong, before long, we're going to be like a train. We're going to derail, and it's going to be bad. So what we have to do is ask God to reveal to us on a daily basis the error of our ways. And when we get off track, you know what we pray that He would do? He'd bring us back to that place. That He would remind us and remind us quickly. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I'm prone to get off track. It doesn't take much for me to be derailed. And I'm not talking about going to bar rooms. I'm not talking about getting drunk. I'm not talking about running around on my wife. I'm talking about having my heart's, what, chasing after the thing. Just my mind, in my mind. I don't even have to actually do those things. You know what I can do? Remember what Christ said about adultery? He said, if a man does what? Just looks, right? And thinks on it, then what? He's guilty. So what we have to realize is we don't have to complete the act to be guilty of the crime. And what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves, why are we here today? Why did we show up here? Is it out of obligation? Are we here with a surrendered heart and a desire to worship God and to bring honor and glory to Him? And I think this is the first day of the week. We mentioned that 2 weeks ago, I think, or last week. Can't really remember. This is the first day of the week. And what we're supposed to do is give it to Him. In the morning, when we wake up, you know what we're supposed to do? Give Him the first fruits of our day. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Give Him our day. And as we go throughout the day, we mess up. You know what? The Scripture says His mercies are new, what? Every day. We can know that He's able to cleanse us, to purge our conscience, that we can get up and we can serve Him again and again. How many of y'all ever get discouraged and you want to quit? Is that just me? I mean, you start thinking, just like these priests, these things are contempt. They're worthless. It's not worth all the effort. I need to put some of this back for myself. You know when we do that? When we lose focus on what we've been called to do. And that's easy for us. I can testify that's easy for us to do. So what we need to do is ask God to forgive us and cleanse us. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You and we pray.